Okay, Beruchim Abayim, welcome everyone.
We are continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are starting the fourth pasuk that describes one of the qualities of the Eshet Chayil, the great woman. As again we keep saying, many of the qualities are the same by men as well. The pasuk says, Daresha Semer Ufishtim. The Eshet Chayil, she seeks out wool and linen. We never would have imagined that someone could become great by seeking out wool and linen. What could that possibly mean? I'm sure it doesn't mean that she looks to make shatnez, because wool and linen together are not a good combination. They create a garment that is forbidden to wear. So what does it mean that she seeks out wool and linen? What is unique about these two fibers of wool and linen that makes an Eshet Chayil so special? Wool and linen are actually very much opposites. Wool is soft, it's comforting, it's gentle, it warms the person, it envelops the person. Linen, on the other hand, is stiff, strong, sturdy, a very different feel than wool. When we speak about the Eshet Chayil, that she's seeking wool and linen, wool represents Midat HaChesed, the softness, the warmth, the kindness that comes in the Eshet Chayil's behavior with her husband, with her children. The linen represents Midat HaGevura, the characteristic of strength. Like our rabbis tell us, Le'olam tehe semol doha. A person has to use the left side to push away, which means to push away bad things, to be strong. Ve'yamin mekarevet. But the right, the strong end, has to bring people closer. Certainly, warmth and love and kindness build a child and build their future. But no less important is the strength and the gevura of the father or the mother. The ability to put boundaries, the ability to say no, the ability to push away what needs pushing away. The mixture of Midat HaChesed and Midat HaGevura. In the world of Kabbalah, creates the midah of Tiferet. The midah of Tiferet describes a certain beauty and harmony of a person who knows how to balance properly their kindness and their strength with the people that they care about. Avraham Avinu represents the midah of kindness. Yitzhak Avinu represents the midah of gevura, strength. Yaakov Avinu represents the midah of tiferet. Tiferet is that balance of kindness and strength that makes for a great mother, a great father, a great husband and a great wife, a great teacher and a great rabbi, and of course, a great friend. This is what it means, Daresha Tzemer Upishtim. The great woman is constantly seeking the right balance between softness and toughness, between the wool and the linen. Some might ask, so why did Shlomo HaMelech use wool and linen and not just say simple, Daresha Chesed Ugvura? What's the point of writing it the way he did? Perhaps the answer to this question is that in the world of Shatnez, imagine a person had a garment that was fully, fully wool. And by mistake, one string of linen got mixed in to the garment. 99% wool, 1% linen. Halacha says that garment is sha'atnez. You can't wear it. You can't put on the garment. It's not kosher. If one has a garment that's full of linen and just one string of wool got mixed in, that makes the garment not kosher, sha'atnez. Perhaps what Shlomo HaMelech is coming to teach us by saying wool and linen as opposed to kindness and strength is that you have to be very, very careful and you have to be very wise to know that line that separates between being loving and kind and soft and warm and being strong and tough. Because if you make a mistake on either side, you may be creating shatnez. You say, you know what? You can't make a mistake with love. Just love. No, it doesn't work like that. That's called all wool. But when you're supposed to have, in that situation, something else, you're creating something that isn't kosher. When you cross the line, or you're supposed to cross the line, and you don't do it, so you're creating something that isn't kosher. To know the difference between wool and linen, and to constantly seek to know the boundaries, because it's forever changing. Every situation is different. Every day is different. Every child is different. Every student is different. This is constant. That's why it says, Daresha Semer Ufishtim. It's not just a lesson that you walk home with and you put it in the archives. Okay, done. I got it. I got the lesson. You got to use your warmth. You got to use your strength. I got it. I'm going to do both. It's not like that. Daresha means you always have to know the line. You never want to mix where it's not supposed to be. When it's supposed to be tough, there's no room for warmth. And when it's supposed to be warm, there's no room for tough. And it's constantly doresh, constantly seeking, what's the moment? calling for now? What is the need right now for my son, for my daughter, for my husband, for my wife, for my child, for my student? Darisha, the Eshet Hayil, always has on her mind Semer Upishtim. And she's always looking to make sure what the moment is calling for. I must share with you a midrash that I am scared to share with you. If this wasn't written in the midrash, I would never think that you could even write such a thing. But being that it's written in the midrash, the oral Torah comes to teach us, and even if sometimes the words are uncomfortable, we must speak them out. What makes this midrash uncomfortable is that we're going to talk about some very great people. People that will never understand how great they were. And therefore, it's uncomfortable when the midrash is going to point out something that wasn't so beautiful or so perfect about them. And the danger is we might equate ourselves to them. So we should never equate ourselves to great people, because their mistakes aren't necessarily ours, even if they look the same on the surface. But nonetheless, if we're taught about the mistakes, we need to learn from those mistakes on our level, not to compare them to us, but for us to learn from them. The Midrash in the beginning of Sefer Shemot, on the pasuk that says, Ve'ele Shemot Bnei Yisrael Abaim Mitzrayma. These are the names of Bnei Yisrael, the children of Yaakov that came to Egypt. Out of nowhere comes the Midrash and says, Hahu Dichtiv. When you see this pasuk that introduces the names of the Jewish people that went to Egypt, this is what the pasuk is referring to in Mishle. Hosech Shifto, says Shlomo HaMelech, someone who holds back his stick. A stick is an example of Gevura. A stick is something you hit someone with. In today's society, hitting is definitely not recommended. But a stick doesn't have to be physically hitting somebody. It means being strong when you need to be strong in the way that's appropriate for that situation. Hosech Shifto, someone says to himself, no, I'm a wool guy. I'm a wool mother. I'm a tzemer mother. I'm soft. I'm loving. That's where I'm holding. That's who I am. And even though the situation calls for strength, this tzemer person, hosech shifto, they hold back their strength. Says the pasuk, sone beno. Which means, in simple words, it sounds like you hate your son. If you don't use your strength, it means you hate your children. That sounds very harsh. I hate my children. How could that be? I'm telling you, I only want to love them. I only want to show them kindness and warmth. Tell me another word. Tell me something else I'm doing wrong. I can hear it. But how could you tell me I hate my children? What does that mean? It's coming all out of love. But the depth of these words is as follows. You have to love your children and your students and the people you care about enough that you're willing to see them in pain. even though it hurts you. I'll say it again. When I love someone, the last thing I want to see is that person in pain or suffering. The last thing I want to see is them being uncomfortable, because I love them. When they're uncomfortable, I become uncomfortable. When a mother sees her child in pain, she's in more pain than her child. The same for a father. Parents do not want to see their children in pain. And because they love them so much, they feel in pain. Says Shlomo HaMelech, when you don't give the proper strength and the boundary to your children because you love them, that means you're putting your feelings of love ahead of what's good for them. So that means there's a lack of love. You love them so much, but yet you're not willing to feel the pain when they need to feel the pain so they can improve their life. That's called sone beno. A loving father and mother is willing to feel the pain of their children in pain so that they can make them more successful. Hosech shifto sone beno. That's the simple reading of the words of the Pasuk. But the Midrash here explains the Pasuk a little different, slightly. Says the Midrash, what does it mean? Lelammedcha, it's coming to teach you. Shekol hamoneya beno min hamardut. Someone who doesn't use their strength when needed for their children. Someone who doesn't know how to say no clearly. Someone who doesn't put boundaries. Someone who doesn't have the ability to say, no, we don't go there and we don't do that. You can't go with that person. If someone doesn't have that strength, says the Midrash, Sof ba le tarbut ra'a, which means it's going to cause that child to grow up in a negative way. Veson ehu, and then you will have hatred towards the way he is. You're going to look at him and you're going to be upset. I don't know if you hate him, you hate the way he is, you hate yourself. I'm not sure which one. But sounds like simply you hate the way he is. What caused you to come to that hatred, that pain of hating the way your child looks and the way they behave and the way they are? You say because he made bad choices. Says the Midrash, no. It's not the first place to look. It might be true, because the best parent, the best family can still produce children that are not so great, because children have free choice. But the first place to look, says the Midrash, is the father and mother. In which area did they not do well? Where is the first box to check? The fact that they couldn't and wouldn't use their gevura. And then the Midrash gets a little uncomfortable by bringing examples of history of such results. The first one is the son by the name of Yishmael. Yishmael, as we know, was the son of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the man that God himself testified about him, ki yedativ, which means I chose him, I love him, Leman asher yetzave et banav ve'et beto acharav. That he's going to be so concerned, not just with himself, but with his future, his children and grandchildren. Avraham was chosen because he was a man who was a mechanech, a person who cared about the chinuch of his children and his grandchildren. Yet the Midrash over here says that Yishmael, who didn't grow up to be such a great kid, that result happened because of Avraham Avinu. It's uncomfortable to say these words, but that's what it says. Shehayu lo gaguim al Avraham Aviv, which means that he needed his father. Ve'lo ridahu, and he didn't put him in his place. He was afraid of him. Whatever the reason, he didn't put him in his place. Ve'yatsa letarbut ra'a. And he turned out, and he grew up to be not such a successful person. Who would have imagined that we would look at Avraham Avinu, alav ha-shalom, and blame him for his son Yishmael? Maybe me and you would have said Yishmael made bad choices despite the perfect home and the perfect chinuch of Avraham Avinu. Came Yishmael, it could happen. But the Midrash says, with their wisdom and knowledge, that it's not so. That Avraham is being held accountable for the way Yishmael turned out. Again, it's hard to say these words, but that's what it says here. Now, in defense of Avraham Avinu, it doesn't mean he didn't care about Yishmael. It doesn't mean he didn't give him chinuch. Of course, that's not what it's saying here. In fact, it's hinting to it. Shehayu lo gaguim al Avraham. You see, Yishmael was not Yitzhak. Yitzhak and Yishmael, I am sure, got the same dosage of chinuch. Yitzhak turned out to be one of the greatest people that ever lived, and Yishmael not so. And I'm sure Avraham gave all his energy to both. However, Yishmael needed more. Yishmael was the son of a maidservant of Hagar, the Egyptian. Hayulo gaguim, which means he needed more to turn out better than Yitzhak. Yitzhak came from a holy mother who raised him with all the kedushah of Sarai Imenu. So whatever worked for him worked, but it didn't work for Yishmael. Yishmael needed to be told in much stronger words things he shouldn't be doing. And Avraham Avinu didn't do it. I'm sure it wasn't on purpose. That's not what the Midrash is saying either. We're not saying he's doing something bad on purpose. But bottom line, when they did their x-ray to understand what happened with Yishmael, the Torah Shebaal Peh says, this is where it's at. You go to Avraham Avinu and you'll see a mistake was made. Hosech Shifto, he held back his stick. He didn't use it when he was supposed to. And if that's not uncomfortable enough, the Midrash continues and says there's another person in history that also we have someone to point fingers at. Happens to be his father too. Esav, says the Midrash, Kayotzevo, Same. It says, Vayehav Yitzhak et Esav. Yitzhak showed love to Esav. Who could blame a father for showing love to his son? But says the Midrash, Lefichach, because of that, Yatza letarbut ra'ah, Esav turned out to be not such a success. Al asher lo ridahu, because his father didn't use his strength to put him in his place. Again, same story. He raised Yaakov the same time they were twins. Whatever worked for Yaakov definitely worked. Whatever boundaries Yaakov had worked. Whatever warmth, whatever strength he used, he for sure used his strength. That's not the question. But Esav was a different type of person. Already from the mother's womb, he's already attracted to idol worship and evil. He needed more gevura. And it wasn't used enough. Not that it wasn't used, but it wasn't used enough. In fact, it's meduyak in the pesukim. That's what the Midrash is saying. Because the pasuk says, Vayigdelu ne'arim, these twins, Yaakov and Esav, they grew up. Vayhi Esav, and Esav became Esav, and Yaakov became Yaakov. And the next pasuk says, Vayehav Yitzhak et Esav, kitzayid befiv. You're wondering where Esav came from? Because his father Yitzhak wasn't strong enough with him. Why wasn't he strong enough with him? Kitzayid befiv, because he was a very good talker. Esav knew how to talk to his father to make him think that he's greater than he is. So again, we're not blaming Yitzhak, but we're saying the reality that it happened because he didn't give him what he needed. He needed a lot more strength than Yaakov, and it wasn't given to him. And the Midrash doesn't stop. Next one is Avshalom, the son of David HaMelech, who rebelled against his father, who wanted to kill his father. And he ended up dying. Not one of the great success stories in history. Avshalom, the son of David HaMelech. Unfortunate. But yet the Midrash, again, points fingers. Says the Midrash, Kayotzevo. I have another example. David, Shelo Yiser le'Avshalom beno. He didn't give him the proper strength. He didn't give him the boundaries. He pulled back his stick from his son Avshalom. Again, he had Shlomo, the greatest, most wisest man, a prophet. So it worked by Shlomo, but by Avshalom, he needed more. We had to change the balance a little bit. The warmth, strength, the tzemer, pishtim, the wool and linen had to move over a little for Avshalom. And because lo ridahu, because he didn't give him that strength, yatza letarvut ra'ah, turned out to grow up not such a good way. On him, the pasuk says that David HaMelech wrote in Tehillim, Mizmor leDavid beborcho mipenei Avshalom beno. He wrote a song while he was running away from his son Avshalom. And in that perek of Tehillim, he writes, Hashem mara butzarai. Hashem, how great are my troubles. Having a son like Avshalom, the Gemara says, is worse than being present in the terrible war of Gog and Magog. Continues the Midrash. Vechayotzebo, another example. David HaMelech again. So hard to read this. We talk about David HaMelech every class. David with another son of his by the name of Adoniah, who tried at the end of David's life to take on the new kingship, royalty. Shlomo was supposed to be the one. Adoniah decided he's the one. Again, says the Midrash, Yatsa letarvut ra'a. Turned out not so good, Adoniah. Midrash says, because lo ga'arbo, his father didn't yell at him, wasn't strong with him. Like the Pasuk says, ve'lo itsevo aviv miyamav. His father didn't give that necessary strength miyamav all his days. That's why he turned out the way he did. There has to be something very powerful about this Midrash that's pointing out the greatest people in our history, Avraham, Yitzhak, David, twice, and pointing fingers at them. You know, usually nations like to elevate their predecessors, their patriarchs, talk about them, hide any issue that was wrong. Here the Midrash is going all out. And perhaps the obvious message is that this area of life is so difficult. The line is so sensitive between warmth and love on the right, that's the wool. On the left, the strength, the boundaries, the no, the toughness, the linen. The line is forever changing, moving from child to child, from situation to situation. It's so difficult that even the greatest people, they struggled. And that's why the Eshet Hayil is Darisha. She's constantly assessing. Am I being too warm? Am I being too tough? Is this the right child? Is this the right place? Is this the right time? Now to do that, you have to be fully in control. Anger obviously doesn't produce good decisions. It's a constant seeking, constant. It's constant. You cannot fall asleep in this. Now, one might say, well, if Avraham didn't figure it out, how am I going to figure it out? That's not the way we're supposed to be behaving in life. Avraham did figure it out. He had a Yitzhak. He did figure it out where Yitzhak had a Yaakov. We're just pointing out to you that this is a serious matter. And you constantly have to be assessing. Too strong, too soft. That's a constant question that the Eshet Hayil is asking herself. Darsha, Tzemer, Ufishtim. Knowing one wrong move and there's shatness. Of course, we'll do the best we can. And usually, when we do the best that we can, Hashem helps us. We have to pray for that too. To have the wisdom to know when and when not. You know, some things in life are easy. Don't get anger. Don't get angry. Done. Don't eat that. That's it. You can never eat that. Simple. It's black and white. You don't have to worry. When I tell you don't eat it, but sometimes you have to eat it, it just depends on the exact temperature and the exact day and the exact... Okay, it's very hard. I can't eat it and I have to eat it. How do I do that? This makes this subject very, very difficult. But that's why the Eshet Chayil is praised for such a capability. Notice, it doesn't say the Eshet Chayil always gets it right. It doesn't say she always knows the difference between wool and linen. It doesn't say that. Because perfection is not in our hands. What makes her special is Darsha, that she's always looking and assessing. That's always on her mind. These two areas that she needs to use for the benefit of the people she cares about. If you ask why was this Midrash brought in the beginning of Sefer Shemot, what does it have to do with Ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael HaBa'im Yisrael? This is a very nice Midrash to put in Mishle somewhere, discussing the Pasuk, Hosech Shifto Sone Beno. What is it doing here? In the beginning of Sefer Shemot, you open the Midrash, that's the first thing in Sefer Shemot. What the Midrash is telling you is that if you want to find a role model in life, someone who can model Tzemer Ufishtim, who can model wool and love and softness and Pishtim, the linen and the Gvura, and the difficulty, if you want to look for a role model somewhere, you could look in the Creator Himself. Ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael Abaim Mitzrayma. This is when we went down to Egypt and we became slaves. The reader wonders, what is going on? Aren't we God's people? Doesn't He love us? Doesn't He want good for us? Doesn't He control the world? Why in the world would He send us to Egypt? For what reason? Says the Midrash, Hosech Shifto Sone Beno. If you don't understand that Pasuk, you won't understand Hashem either. The Creator of the world loves us enough to feel the pain of seeing us in pain, when He knows that that's what we need exactly. Our nation needed the time in Egypt to develop ourselves. It's not for today's discussion. Egypt was not just a random parking spot in Jewish history. It was the formation of our greatness. Anything that you see in the Jewish soul, in the Jewish person today, that is great, came through Egypt. Over there, we were formed to be the great people, the great nation that we've become. Was it painful? Very painful. You know who was in pain the most? The Creator Himself. Like the Pasuk says, Aimo Anochi Betzara. Hashem says, when you're in pain, you think I'm celebrating? Don't you know how a mother feels when her son's in pain? You think I'm less than your mother? Aimo Anochi Betzara. Hashem says, I feel pain more than you. But I love you too much to take away my pain, because I know you need this. Sometimes in life, what people need are not so pleasant. Someone who really cares is willing to do what's unpleasant. When you take this concept and you bring it to today's world, it becomes very, very difficult. As you can see, it was a very difficult. But in today's society, this becomes a very tall order. Because we live in a world where the streets are constantly talking and practicing the theme of love. Today it's all about love. Love everyone, love everything. Doesn't matter. If you have love in your life, they say, you can't get hurt. That's what fills today's streets. It's a street that is only Darshat Semer. It's a street that's looking for wool alone. Of course, this world view stems from a very good place. Peace, compassion, harmony, beautiful values, rooted in the Torah. Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. To love all people. As Rabbi Akiva said, ze klal gadol ba'Torah. It is a very high value in the eyes of the Creator. However, when this value is taken to an extreme, when love becomes the only lens through which a person views life, it can sometimes lead to destruction. People who have this world view cannot deal with conflict. Every conflict has to be solved with kindness. There could be no war, because war isn't friendly. War isn't love. What about a necessary war? Because there's evil in the world. No. There's no war. Love is the theme. I want to say it again. Love is the theme. It doesn't matter. But what about criminals? Should we put them in jail? No. That's not love. Criminals in jail? That's not love. Police, who needs them? What do you need police for? Police walk around with guns. They walk around with sticks. They put people in prison. That's not love. We're against the police. Let's defund the police. We don't need them. We don't need jails. We don't need wars. Because we live a life of love. It sounds so gorgeous. Sounds so loving. Like tzemer, like wool. Judgment is always wrong in the world of love. Nobody could ever be wrong. The fact that you're judging someone is already wrong. Let people do whatever they want, as long as they feel loved. Of course, such a mindset avoids necessary confrontation. Sometimes you have to confront someone. Hey, you're doing wrong. You know, in today's educational system, in the public arena, it's very hard to tell anyone they're doing wrong. Teachers can hardly tell a kid they're doing something wrong because there's really very little that you could do wrong. Whatever you like, whatever you enjoy, whoever you are, whatever you... doesn't make a difference. Wear what you like, say what you want, makes no difference. You know, Baruch Hashem, we go to yeshivot, so we have certain values and standards. Oh, you can't wear that. What are you doing? You can't do that. You can't say that. You can't love that. But imagine in the street out there, there's no such thing. Just have to imagine that. There's no such reality. A kid goes to school for 12 years, he didn't hear the word no once. He only heard the word no when it came to anti-love. That's it. In such a reality, of course, we excuse harmful behavior. Boundaries are blurred between right and wrong. Rejection of discipline or structure. This is the street that we live in today. Thank God we do not live in the street. And that is something we're thankful for every single day in Birkot HaShachar. That we don't live the life of the street. But we must never forget that we are in exile. We are in Galut. And being in Galut means that even though you're not in the street, but the street has definitely effect on you if you're not paying attention. So while we will not take the values as I mentioned, but certainly it does enter our homes and enter our lifestyles, where we too start to believe that it's all about love. How do you raise a child? It's all about love. Just love them. If you love them, that's it. You're good. What's a good teacher? Ask anyone today, who's a good teacher? Someone who loves their students. That is not true. That is a product of the world that we live in. A good teacher is someone who raises their students. Love is a necessary part of raising a child. But love doesn't raise people. Actually, love very often makes them very comfortable where they are. As a teacher, loving your students is the easiest thing to do. It's just one simple order. Just love them. Doesn't matter what they do. They can yell and scream and curse and kill and beat and hit and ignore and doesn't matter. My rabbi, he always loved me, no matter what. Never said a word to me. He just let me be. He let me find my space whenever I was ready. You hear all kinds of words like that. I'm sure this is maybe shocking to some ears and to others saying, yeah, why are people actually say that? The older generation is saying, what? People talk like that? And the new generation says, of course it's like that. What's the question? Of course all about love. What is the question here? It's such sheker, such nonsense. Love doesn't build your children. Love is necessary. It's an ingredient. It may be the 90% ingredient. It may be 95%. But if it's 100%, you're definitely not looking forward to a great result. Very often you build people with structure, with boundaries, with telling them in the right way, of course. I don't mean to say walk around and yell at people. There's a way to yell at someone very quietly, just like this. The message could be so powerful, but very low voice. You don't have to go yell. You don't need a stick to hit people. But you got to be able to tell them that they're doing something that's not good for them. You need to strategize. You got to know how to talk. You got to know how to, I'm not saying, God forbid, with anger, nothing works. Anything done with anger is for sure a failure. No anger here. Strength. Gevurah is not anger. Gevurah is power. It's the ability to tell someone, listen, this is not the way. Whether you have to convince them if they can understand, and if they can't understand, they have to be able to accept that's the way it is. I'm older than you. I'm smarter than you. One day you'll understand. However, the message has to get through. It's a key ingredient in building people. You cannot build great people without boundaries. Again, the street is screaming it. It's more comfortable to live it. It's not a surprise that we find a lot of this in our own world, in our own homes, in our own schools. We find parents who can't say no because it's uncomfortable. Because the kid feels unloved. Oh no, I can't do that because it's all about love. I can't see them feeling bad or feeling down. I'm going against the most important principle of life, love. That's why teachers only give praise. even community leaders and rabbis, have a way of avoiding moral subjects because it's not love. It's not the ahava that the street says is most important. Don't tell people if they're doing something wrong, because you'll be hurting the fabric of love and warmth. You'll be going into Pishtim world, into linen world. Clearly, this is not the way of the Torah. We see in Hashem's Midot that He is Rahum Behanun, He's compassionate. Any compassion that we have only came from Him. Rav Hesed, Hashem is full of kindness. The kindness that we see in ourselves and others is coming from Him. Notzer Hesed La'alafim. Not only is He kind, but any kindness done for Him, He holds on to it, La'alafim, for thousands of generations. Ve'nakeh lo yenakeh. But He will not clear the guilty. To clear the guilty? Someone who's guilty? Lo yenakeh. Hashem doesn't clear the guilty. He doesn't say, oh, don't worry. Oh, you did wrong? Nah, it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's good. Sometimes in our world, people ask that question. Like, what does God care? What does He care what I do? No, He doesn't like what you did, so therefore He did this to you. What? Doesn't He love me? I don't get it. Doesn't He care about me? Why would He do that to me? I don't get it. We have something called Hesed Shel Emet. True kindness. Not all kindness is true. And not all love is pure. You must always, always think about the better side of the person we're looking at, even if it's not there yet, and figure out how to get them to a better, more successful, more happy place in their life. Besides the street that makes it so difficult for us today to talk about these subjects that were very obvious 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago, very obvious. This class, 100 years ago, they would have walked out saying, What's the Hidushi? What is he saying, this man? Maybe 100 years ago, I would have to tell them, by the way, you have to love your children too. I said, what? Love children? What are you talking about? It's all about the stick. You got to put them in their place. So we would have to talk all about love. No, love is important. Love is key. Love is great. You need the tzemet also. You can't just do pishtim. They would have walked out with the Hidush that we need to look for tzemet also. I'm not exaggerating. Today, people are walking out, what? I never heard of this Pishtim thing. I thought love does everything. What a Hidush today we learned. So besides that, there is a street that's very much the opposite. But there is also, besides the street, there are reasons why we don't like to do this. And they're all coming from a good place. To bring out the reasons, I'd like to study with you for a few moments. One of the examples the Midrash gave was the son of David, Adoniah. What happened with this Adoniah? So if you open up to the first chapter of Melachim Aleph, you'll see over there, the discussion about Adoniyah ben Hagit. It says over there, mitnaseh, he was starting to raise himself. Lemor, to say, ani emloch, I am following my father David. Vayas lo rechev, he made for himself a royal chariot, a motorcade perhaps. Vahamishim ish ratzim lefanav, wherever he went, he had 50 men running in front of him. I guess that was the way of kings in those days. And the pasuk says, here's the pasuk that we're going to focus on. It says, Velo atzavo aviv miyamav. His father, David, he never really put him in his place. He didn't shape him or he didn't make him upset. Lemor, to tell him, Madua kacha asita. Why did you do this? He doesn't mean only now. He means always. He didn't tell him, why are you doing this? Vegam hu tov toar meod. And happens to be, he was a very good-looking man. Very good-looking kid. Ve'oto yalda ahare Avshalom. And he was born after Avshalom. Let's read that pasuk again. Three things are mentioned in this pasuk. Number one, his father never yelled at him, never put him in his place. One. Number two, he was very, very good looking, very cute. And number three, he was born after Avshalom. What does it have to do with the story? What does good looks have to do with anything? What is the fact that he was born after Avshalom? What does it have to do with anything? In the story here, it goes on to say that Bathsheba, the mother of Shlomo, came to David and told him, do you know what he's doing? You told Shlomo, my son, he's going to be the king. Okay, so that's the story here. In a sefer called Kochav Miyakov from the Magid Miduvna, he says these words. He says, Arevim bazeh, he says, so sweet on this pasuk, is Divrei Rabbi Azariah Pijo. I hope I'm saying it right. He says he found great, beautiful, sweet words from this great rabbi, Rabbi Azariah, and he wants to share it with us on this subject. He says there are three reasons why a person naturally doesn't want to use their strength on their children. Number one, he says, Mehamat Ahavat Av Yetera. That's what we've been discussing today. Ve'lo atzavo aviv. It's his father. He loves him. Your natural love to someone makes it hard to go strong against them. That's number one. Number two, he says, because his son was very cute. You know, when you see kids, they're very cute. Sometimes they're cute because of their innocence. Sometimes they're cute because of their looks or what they do. A person can be misled by the cuteness of a child. Even as they get older, they're still cute in the eyes of their parents. Sometimes you see a mother saying to a 30-year-old, oh, he's so cute, he's my son. The cuteness for a father and mother doesn't end when they become 11, 12. For most people, once they hit 2, that's it, done. Their cuteness lasts till 2, 3 years old. But for a mother and father, it can go for a very long time. That connection with a child makes it hard to see anything wrong with them and to give them strong words when necessary. And the third one is a hard one. He was Avshalom's brother. Why is that a point? So the great rabbi says so beautifully, and something we see all the time, is that very often a parent feels no confidence in being strong with their children. They feel that if they're going to say something strong, they're going to lose their son. I'm going to lose my daughter. I can't tell her anything. I'm going to lose her. You hear that all the time. So basically, you have to disarm all of your weapons, because anytime you pull one out, you say, I'm going to lose her. That's a mother and father that's living in fear and don't have confidence in their abilities. And it becomes much more difficult when you already had one failure. If you already have an Avshalom in your family, now you're walking on eggshells. I'm not saying a word to this kid. Whether Avshalom is in your home, whether it's in the neighbor's home, or whether you read about him in the magazine, it makes no difference. If there's an Avshalom somewhere around your neighborhood, you become now scared to death to say a word to your children. Why? Because you're going to lose. They're going to walk out on you. I heard this one time I heard this kid walked out on his parents because they were too strong with him. What did you hear? You know the story. You live with them for 30 years. You heard nothing. Part of being a father and mother is to be strong. At the end of the day, God runs the world, not you and not me. God gave us the ability to be strong with our children, with wisdom, in the right way, in the right time. We already discussed that. But God forbid that we should feel that we can't be strong, because then they can't handle it and they're going to run away. What? Why is that the right way to look at things? Are they really that weak of a human being? Yes. Can there be such a child that's so weak, that's so lost, that's so far that you cannot say a word to him? Only love, there is such a thing. But that's a very, very extreme case. There's no reason to think that our children, who are normal, healthy people, cannot hear words of strength comes out of love from their mother. What is the problem? Again, the right words, the right way, the right place. Calculated, darsha, make sure it's the right way. But God forbid that we should be people who accuse our children that they're too weak to listen to someone who gives them strong words. If someone feels that way, you have to know you're making your children to be out to be very weak people. Who is not capable of listening to strong words? Maybe it's going to hurt them. Maybe they're going to cry. Maybe they're going to feel bad. Yeah, it could be. But it's going to build them. So the Pasuk says one of the reasons why someone wouldn't have the strength or use their strength is because of Avshalom. There was already an Avshalom. So we don't want to make another Avshalom. So I got to stay back. Love is much safer. But it's not. Love is not safer. It just feels that way. It's not safer. If we saw this midrash, we'd realize that love is the cause of the problem. Truly beautiful words. Like the Magid Meduvna says, Arevim, he says, Bazeh. Such sweet words. The Pasuk points out the reasons why someone wouldn't be strong with a child that needs it. I'd like to end this class by taking our subject to a slightly deeper place. I don't think we were talking light, but we're going to go a little deeper. Till now, we've been talking about bringing the best out of my son, my daughter, my student, my friend, by using both the wool and linen in me. So it was a strategy. How do I get the best out of them? By using these kohot that Hashem gave me. But it's actually deeper than that. You see, because a father and mother are really supposed to be examples and role models to a child for their real relationship of a father, which is their creator. And they're supposed to be preparing them for that relationship. So a mother and father are given this opportunity to prepare their children for the ultimate father-son relationship. Mother-daughter relationship, which is their relationship with the Creator. We say every day in our tefillah, Le'ahava ul'ira et shemecha. That our goal in this world, with all that we do, is to bring ourselves to love and to fear your name. In our relationship with the Creator of the world, for it to be successful, there has to be love of the Creator and there has to be fear of the Creator. Fear has different levels. There's fear of punishment, that's a lower level. But then there's fear of losing the relationship. You have a loving relationship, you're scared to do something to lose that relationship. But nonetheless, there are two areas where we connect to our Creator and where we will grow through our Creator. When we have ahava, when we feel His love and we love Him back, and we have the ability to actually fear damage that we can do to this relationship and to ourselves. Those are real important factors in a great person's life. With Ahavat Hashem only, you won't get there. Because there'll be many things in your life that maybe you don't love, but they're important. You have to have Yir'at Hashem. You have to know that things that Hashem tells you are things to be scared of because it can hurt you. There's something called Din. Din means that everything in this world has consequences. You do something, it's just not in the air. You go with the wrong people, has consequences. You go to the wrong places, has consequences. You start drinking, has consequences. You start smoking, it has consequences. The way the world is not hefkerut. This world is not a place of lawlessness, that you could do whatever you want and then it ends up fine. It's not like that. There are rules to life. Not all the rules you could see the consequence immediately, but there are clear rules and there are clear consequences to our actions. That's called din. Din means you do A, B is going to happen. It's going to happen right now, or it's going to happen a year from now, or 5 years, but it doesn't make a difference. It's din. It's happening. Something happened when you said that. Something happened when you did that. That's called din. That is the midah of emet. Emet means things matter. Emet means A plus B equals C. Emet. Actually, when Hashem came to create the world, it says Bereshit in the beginning, Bara Elohim et Hashamayim ve'et Ha'aretz. Elohim is when we talk about God in the state of Din. Rashi over there, Allah Shalom, says, Velo Amar Bara Yudke Vavke. Doesn't say Bereshit Bara Hashem et Hashem. No, it doesn't say that. Because Hashem refers to Hashem's compassion, kindness. He says, because Shebatehila, because when Hashem made the world, originally in his thought was to create it Bemidad Hadin, that the world would be very simple. You do A, you suffer B. You do A, you gain B. That's the way it works. Simple. That's a world of emet. Just like we see in the physical world. Every time you jump, you come down. Reality, emet. Gravity is emet because it never fails, ever. It's always for every person and every place. That's a rule. A rule that's broken is not emet. Hashem is emet. His rules are emet. You put an egg inside a boiling pot of water, it's going to boil. You're going to get a hard-boiled egg. How often does hot water boil eggs? Every time. How come the egg doesn't sometimes decide, I'm not doing it? It doesn't work like that. Every time you put your, God forbid, your hand in a fire, it burns. Every time. Maybe not this time. No, it happens every time. It's a rule. Emet. All the nature of this world. Hashem thought to create the world entirely with such a reality. That means you eat something not kosher, if you have a Jewish soul, the damage, done. On the spot, it's over. On the spot, a day later, a week, whatever, but it's gone. Irreparable, impossible. You say the wrong things, done. It's over. Whatever that done means. I don't mean over for everything, but in that aspect of what you said, can't take it back. It's done. That's called din. So it says that when Hashem created the world, he wanted to build a world of din because Hashem is emet. His whole essence is emet. His signature is aleph mem tav. He's emet. So when he wanted to make the world, he's going to make the world with din. Just like gravity doesn't sometimes go yes and not. You can't undo it. It doesn't work like that. His rules. But then, says Rashi, Ra'a she'en ha'olam mitkayem. He saw the world can't exist like this. Being that humans are given free choice, and they could decide to do the wrong thing with that free choice. And then what happens if they mess up? According to Deen, oh, that's it, it's over. They messed up. Hashem says, we can't live like this. So what do you do? Hikdim midat rahamim. He brought the midah of compassion and he added it to the midah of din. That's why later on it says, Beyom asot, on the day that Hashem made, look at the words, asot Hashem Elokim eres v'shamayim. Not Elokim, not Hashem. Hashem Elokim. Which means a world with din only is wonderful. It's great. Problem is, we're humans, we make a lot of mistakes. We can't survive. So we need rahamim. A world only rahamim, that's a world of semen. A world of sheker. So Hashem figured out a way of somehow bringing together din and rahamim. So that a person can do something wrong spiritually and somehow that can be erased. It's a miracle. In the physical world, that doesn't happen. A person jumps off a 10-story building, he's gone. Oh, but I'm making teshuvah in the middle of the air. That doesn't make a difference. It's too late. You can't undo that. the physical world, you can't undo things. Because that's deen, that's emet. But Hashem made this miracle called Rahamim, that somehow He put together Rahamim with deen. And therefore we can make teshuvah. We can get better, we can undo things that we did wrong. Whether it's in our relationships with each other, and certainly with Him. One of the great values that a mother and father could give their children is to feel the love of Hashem. Children learn a lot more from what they see and experience than what they read about. When they experience, when a child experiences the love of his mother, and then one day when he gets more mature, they tell him about how Hashem loves him. Hashem loves you. He woke you up today. Look, you were sleeping. You were like almost dead. And you woke up. Hashem loves you. Believe it or not, as great as that is, if a person didn't feel the love growing up from his parents, with all the words that you tell him, he doesn't feel the ahava. Giving over love to our children is not so easy. You're probably wondering, which father and mother don't love their children? So what are we talking about here? It's not that simple. But that's not for today. I can't discuss it today. Do not imagine for a moment that just because you love their parents, they're feeling the love. It actually has sometimes very little to do with each other. To feel the love of a parent is not so simple. We could talk about that a different time. But when a person has experienced constantly the love of a mother and a father, when they become spiritually mature, they start to understand and to feel the love of Hashem in their lives. Love is a muscle that a person needs to work out. Fortunate is the child that grew up in such an atmosphere. Do they love Hashem when they're 3? No. When they're 5? No. When they're 10? Probably not. But when they become mature-minded and can understand what it means that there's a creator to this world, they could see what's invisible, all of a sudden, all that ahava, all that love, now channels itself to the creator as well. Le'ahava, using the tzemer of the mother on her children is not just to make them warm with her, but it's to make them warm in their most important relationship with Hashem. Will yir'ah et shemecha. What about the fear of God that they have to have? That when God says, you can't do that, even if it's not comfortable for you, even if you would have liked it a different way, what happens when God tells you, you can't be here, you can't eat that, you can't wear that? What happens in such a situation? Well, for the people who grew up with love, what do they want from me? Why do they want to hurt me? I'm not comfortable with this. And all of a sudden they have this demon-like commandment that's taking away from my independence, taking away from my happiness, taking away from my whatever. But a mother who has trained her children with deen, with pishtim, with linen, that they have certain obligations in the home, they have obligations as the mother of their child, as a child of their mother and father. In this family, that's what we do. Whatever it is, whatever they can understand. Such a upbringing is not just a way to get them to be successful with you, but it's a way to prepare them to be successful in life with their creator. As they grow in life, they start to see, oh, you can't do that. Okay, I can't do it. No problem. That's called Tzemer Upishtim. Le'ahava ul'yir'a. You're training your children to become great people, great Jews, to live a great life. Listen to this story. There's an organization in Israel, it's called Arachim. They help people who are secular, Hilonim, help them come back and make teshuvah. These people are not educated, they don't know anything. Tinok shenishba. Not their fault, that's the way they grew up. So this organization tries to gather them for a Shabbat and give them inspiration, words of truth. And on one of these seminars, a middle-aged man was there, attending, Hiloni. After the Shabbat, it was very inspiring. He was very inspired, but didn't really move the needle for him. It takes a lot for a person to change. It was Motzei Shabbat, he's sitting in the lobby of the hotel, and he sees over there a little boy, a very little boy, the son of one of the rabbis that spoke in the Shabbat. So, being the good uncle that he is, takes out a lollipop from his pocket and hands it over to the kid. He says, "A young man, here, take." Kid's eyes lit up, lollipop for a little kid. Shamayim, he's in heaven. And this man watches this kid and he runs over to his father. And he shows him the lollipop. And he says, "Dad, is this kosher?" His father looks at it and says, "Oh, it's not kosher." And the kid goes back to his uncle, the Hiloni, his newfound uncle. He says, "I'm sorry, I won't be able to eat this." This man lost his mind. Maybe to us it's very simple and obvious. He says, what makes a 5-year-old boy have the boundaries to take something he's dying for and with all the control in the world, go ask his father, "Can I eat this?" And he comes back and he gives it to me. At that moment, he realized if he wants to have children and a family that lives with healthy boundaries, this is the only way you're going to be able to do it. We have a chain of command. We have a creator, we have a father and mother, we have a child. That's how din works. That's the training that a mother and father give their children when they tell them they can't. It becomes part of their life. And actually, when you get good at it, you start to give over din in a loving way. Somehow the no comes out of love. You know, children are very good to really assess, is your no coming out of anger or is your no coming out of love? Where is it coming from? A very big difference. You always have to be doresh. You always have to ask yourself. Because when it's coming out of love, they understand it in such a way. And if they understand constantly your din, your nose, your boundaries are coming from love, even if it hurts them, even if it's painful for them, but at some point, they will start to feel the love in your nose. What a great training that is. Because as they get older and they're asked not to do something, not to go somewhere, it becomes a part of their loving reality I will share with you one last Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara over there talks about a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that describes the Jewish people as Suga Bashoshanim. The word Suga means like they have a fence, like Seyag. Suga, our people, are fenced in with Shoshanim. Shoshanim are roses. What an odd pasuk. Our people, our fences, are roses. Says the Gemara, that even if we see a fence of roses, we do not go in. Then the Gemara explains, Vehainu, and this is the Amar Lehahu Minale Rav Kahana. There was once a kofer, a non-believer, who came to Rav Kahana. And he said to him, Amritu, is it true what I heard about you people? What did you hear? Nida share leYehude behade gavra. A woman who is a nida, you allow her to be in seclusion, private, with her husband? Are you guys crazy? Efshar esh beneoret ve'ena mehavhevet. Is it possible you put fire by material and it doesn't burn? What do you guys do? What are you thinking? How is it possible to contain such a fire? Amar le Rav Kahana told him, HaTorah he'ida alenu. The Torah testified on us. Suga bashoshanim. That our walls can be of roses. You see, for people to stay out of a place they want to be in, usually you got to put barbed wire. You got to put thorns. You got to put steel. This way you make sure they don't go in. But our people, if they just see Suga v'Shoshanim, who are the Shoshanim? The Shoshanim are the mitzvot. The mitzvot that Hashem gave us are the roses that surround the beautiful world that we live in. We do not cross. Not because we have barbed wire. Not because we have anything that's holding us back. We see the roses, and the roses give us the strength. Yes, a nida with a husband, no problem. Suga bashoshanim. Because there's a mitzvah, and the mitzvah is an automatic protection to our people. A little boy has suga bashoshanim. He desperately wants that lollipop. But wait, if he's not allowed to eat it, if Hashem said no, oh, that's shoshanim. His protection is in barbed wire. His protection is roses, the roses of the mitzvot. This is coming from the great mother and a great father who give over their din, who give over their strength from a place of ahava, from a place of love. Such a mother and father will produce children that when Hashem says to them, you shouldn't eat that, they do it with love. They feel the love in the now. They feel the ahava when they can't eat the lollipop. Pride and happiness come from such no's. Daresha semer ufishtim. The eshet hayel is constantly seeking how to show her children semer, warmth, softness, wool, and pishtim, the toughness, the sturdiness of the linen. The combination of Din and Rahamim and Hesed creates an Eshet Hayil who has the Midah of Tiferet that will produce the most powerful, most successful generations of children. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen ve'amen.